Reading today from God's Word comes from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. So that's Philippians chapter 2, and you'll find that on page 1179 in your pew Bibles. So that's Philippians chapter 2, and reading from verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It'd be really helpful if you could keep your Bibles open on page 1179 that Graham's just read to us, and let me pray. Lord, we come to you at this time in our nation, and we thank you for your word, that it is sure and steadfast. And we pray this morning that it will lead us all to the Lord Jesus Christ, your living word. In his name we pray. Amen. 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 A constant presence in a changing world. That has been one of the BBC straplines on their news website as it has marked the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II in the last couple of days. A constant presence in a changing world. And I'm sure many of us feel that about her. Probably most of us have only known Queen Elizabeth as our monarch, and whatever you feel about the monarchy, or however little or often you thought of her, I'm sure that most of us have felt some degree of loss this week, for she was that consistent and constant backdrop to our lives. And we know that our nation, and indeed our world, will never be the same again. Queen Elizabeth was the oldest sovereign in our history in age and the longest serving. She was also queen and head of state of 15 other countries, and for 7 decades, head of the Commonwealth, made up of 2.1 billion people. She saw 15 prime ministers come and go, from Winston Churchill to Liz Truss, who she asked to form a government just this week. She met a quarter of all the US presidents and 5 popes and hundreds of national leaders, thousands of celebrities and many, many more ordinary people. And over the 70 years that Queen Elizabeth was on the throne, she's seen the world change immensely. Massive changes in technology, in industry, the economy, in our society. And throughout it all, she has continued to play the part of a constitutional monarch, overseen changes to the monarchy, sought to engage with her people, but remained that figurehead, offering consultation and advice, warning political leaders privately, but avoiding party politics or speaking controversially. She's been a focus for our national life, celebration, and commemoration. So we enter a period of mourning for our Queen, remembering too that she was also a much-loved mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, who had her own share of joy and sadness, celebration and loss in her own life. I expect that, like me, the words that you think of when you think of Queen Elizabeth are duty and service. She had a strong sense of duty and a determination to dedicate her life to her throne and her people. Even on her 21st birthday, 5 years before she became queen, she spoke to the nation saying, "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service." And we do conclude that she fulfilled that promise, living a life of service to our nation and our world, always aware of her duty, committed to remaining as monarch till her death. She put aside her personal preferences, the kind of life she might have liked to have led, and adopted a life of duty and service. King Charles said of his mother on Friday that she had an abiding love of tradition and a fearless embrace of progress. She was an example and inspiration. She had an ability to see the best in people and lived life with warmth and humour. You might have heard over the last few days the wonderful story of the occasion when the Queen was walking on the Balmoral estate with one of her protection officers, Richard Griffin. They came across two American tourists out walking who did not recognise her in her headscarf. The American man asked if she lives in the area, to which she replied that she had a house in London, but also a house just over the hill. She said that she'd been coming up for more than 80 years, and the American guy said, "Well, if you've been coming up here for 80 years, you must have met the Queen." And as quick as a flash, she said, "Well, I haven't, but Richard here meets her regularly." So the guy asked what she was like, and knowing he could get away with it, Richard Griffin said, she can be cantankerous, but she's got a lovely sense of humour." And the next thing he knows, the American guy gives his camera to the Queen and asks her to take a picture of them. And then they swapped places, and Richard took a picture of the Queen with the couple. And they never let on, and they said goodbye and went on their way. The Queen turned to Richard and said that she would love to be a fly on the wall when he shows his holiday photos to his friends and someone tells him who they had met. This week, we have lost a queen who offered lifelong service to our nation for 70 years. She has been a constant presence in a changing world, driven by her unceasing sense of duty to the role that she took on so long ago. If I were to stop there, that would be to tell just half the story. Because Queen Elizabeth's sense of duty and service had its roots not just in the role and expectations she was taking on, but in her faith in Jesus Christ as her model and inspiration for the service and sacrifice that she made. She became more explicit about her Christian faith in her Christmas broadcast in the last 20 years. And in 2014, she said, "For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life." And right there in our reading today in Philippians, we see the model of Jesus' servanthood and sacrifice. It tells us who Jesus is. He is in his very nature God, really and truly. We know from the Gospel of John and from Colossians that Jesus was with God right back before the beginning of creation, and that nothing that has been made was made without him. Things in heaven or on earth, whether visible or invisible, thrones or powers, rulers or authorities, all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. And yet, our reading told us he did not use the fact that he is the Son of God as like a divine stepping stone to further glories. But instead, he made himself nothing, nothing, and took on the nature of a servant. He made this decision. He deliberately set himself aside in obedience to his Father and chose to serve. The Queen herself acknowledged this in a speech to the General Synod of the Church of England in 2010. At the heart of our faith, she said, stands not a preoccupation with our own welfare and comfort, but the concepts of service and sacrifice, as shown in the life and teachings of the one who made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant. Jesus laid aside all his majesty, and the Son, whose nature was fully God, took on the nature of a servant. And God became a human being and was found in appearance as a man. The fact that the eternal God became truly man and came and lived among us. Jesus left the glory of heaven and became like you and me in human likeness, with eyelashes and elbows and feet and hands and a voice and ears, with thoughts and ideas and things he loved to do and people he loved to be with tears and cries of laughter, with sadness and joy and frustrations of life. Jesus, God, was made in human likeness and appeared as a man on this earth just over 2,000 years ago. Historically, we know that the person of Jesus of Nazareth lived and died in Palestine. Many of us here and across the world hold that he was indeed God in human likeness. And Jesus' servanthood was such that he humbled himself. He abandoned his own interests for the sake of a bigger plan, and he chose to humble himself and become obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is at the heart of the Christian faith. Jesus' servanthood was not just about living a good life, teaching people, healing people, putting their needs before his own, although it was all those things. Jesus' servanthood was about obedience and sacrifice. Obedience that led him to suffer death on a cross. In his day, this was a method of death that spelled shame and rejection, a belief that the person was cursed by God. Crucifixion was considered so awful that it wasn't to be mentioned in polite Roman conversation, and it was too terrible a death to be inflicted on any Roman citizen. It still is one of the worst methods of execution known to man. And why was this sacrifice needed? Why was this what Jesus' servanthood was about? We have a clue in Galatians where we read, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, for you, for me." Jesus suffered death on a cross for each of us. If you were the only lost sheep that needed finding and rescuing, he would have suffered death on a cross for you. Such is his love for you and me. On our own, we can't put ourselves right with God, meet his standards of what it means to be holy. And so we have to depend on Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life to set us free and bring us forgiveness. Queen Elizabeth acknowledged this herself. In Christmas 2011, she said, "God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher or a general, important though they are, but a saviour with the power to forgive." Forgiveness is at the heart of the Christian faith. It can heal broken families. It can restore friendships. It is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love. Jesus Christ was the inspiration and anchor for the Queen's life. His model of servanthood and sacrifice was what she sought to copy. Jesus Christ, she said, lived obscurely for most of his life. He was rejected by many, though he had done no wrong. And yet billions of people now follow his teaching and find in him the guiding light for their lives. "I am one of them," she said. Are you? Responding to Jesus' servanthood, God exalted him, our reading tells us in verse 9. He was raised from the dead and returned to heaven in glory and has been given the name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. God's design is that everyone should worship and serve Jesus as Lord. It is true that all will acknowledge him eventually. At the end of time, some of us will be delighted to acknowledge him and enjoy worshiping him forever. But everyone will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, whether willingly or not. Jesus' name is above every name, above prime ministers and royalty and presidents. As the Archbishop of York, Stephen Cotchell, said on Friday morning, "Even our Queen bent the knee to someone else, our Lord Jesus Christ." He was her inspiration and her anchor. His model of servanthood and his attitude of self-sacrificing humility and love for others was a pattern for her life as it is for ours. May her example continue to inspire us. A constant presence in a changing world. Yes, a description of Queen Elizabeth, but even more so, a description of our Lord Jesus, who died for us, who rose again and is alive forevermore, and with us, alongside us, in his Holy Spirit. In him, we can place our confidence and our trust when all around us is changing and uncertain and causes us to be fearful. As we face illness and sadness, past trauma or future worries, he is always with us, constant, unchanging, unshakable, a rock and a refuge. He is our constant presence in a changing world. The Queen knew her need of God's help to get her through, and she knew she needed the prayers of others. And on her 90th birthday, her reflection was this: "I have been and remain very grateful to you for your prayers and to God for his steadfast love. I have indeed seen his faithfulness." She had known him to be a constant presence in a changing world. Whatever age and stage you are in life, may that be your testimony and mine for the rest of our days. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the life of our Queen. And we thank you that she took the Lord Jesus as her pattern. And also we pray that we would look to him as our constant presence in a changing world, and that we would find him, as she did, to be faithful. And in his name we pray. Amen.